After some days spent in fruitless search, he came to a plain of prodigious extent, in the midst whereof was a palace built of black marble. He drew near, and at one of the windows beheld a most beautiful lady, but set off with no other ornament than her own charms, for her hair was dishevelled, her garments torn, and on her countenance appeared all the marks of affliction. As soon as she saw Codadad, and judged he might hear her, she directed her discourse to him, saying, "Young man, depart from this fatal place, or you will soon fall into the hands of the monster that inhabits it. A black, who feeds only on human blood, resides in this palace. He seizes all persons whom their ill fate conducts to this plain, and shuts them up in his dungeons, whence they are never released, but to be devoured by him." "Madam," answered Codadad, "tell me who you are, and be not concerned for myself." "I am a lady of quality of Grand Cairo," replied the captive. "I was passing by this castle yesterday on my way to Baghdad, and met with the black, who killed all my attendants and brought me hither." "I beg of you," she cried, "to make your escape. The black will soon return. He is gone out to pursue some travellers he espied at the distance on the plain. Lose no time, but fly." She had scarcely done speaking before the black appeared. He was of monstrous bulk and of a dreadful aspect, mounted on a large Tartar horse, and bore a heavy scimitar that none but himself could wield. The prince, seeing him, was amazed at his gigantic stature, directed his prayers to heaven to assist him, then drew his own scimitar and firmly awaited his approach. The monster, despising so inconsiderable an enemy, called to him to submit without fighting. Codadad, by his conduct, showed that he was resolved to defend his life, for rushing upon the black, he wounded him on the knee. The monster, feeling himself wounded, uttered such a dreadful yell as made all the plain resound. He grew furious and foamed with rage, and raising himself on his stirrups, made at Codadad with his dreadful scimitar. The blow was so violent that it would have put an end to the young prince, had not he avoided it by a sudden spring. The scimitar made a horrible hissing in the air, but before the black could have time to make a second blow, Codadad struck him on his right arm with such force that he cut it off. The dreadful scimitar fell with the hand that held it, and the black, yielding under the violence of the stroke, lost its stirrups and made the earth shake with the weight of his fall. The prince alighted at the same time and cut off his enemy's head. Just then the lady, who had been a spectator of the combat and was still offering up her earnest prayers to heaven for the young hero, uttered a shriek of joy and said to Codadad, "Prince and deliverer, finish the work you have begun. The black has the keys of this castle. Take them and deliver me out of prison." The prince searched the wretch as he lay stretched on the ground, and found several keys. He opened the first door and entered a court, where he saw the lady coming to meet him. She would have cast herself at his feet, the better to express her gratitude, but he would not permit her. She commended his valour and extolled him above all the heroes in the world. He returned her compliments, and she appeared still more lovely to him near than she had done at a distance. I know not whether she felt more joy at being delivered from the disparate danger she had been in than he for having done so considerable a service to be so beautiful a person. Their conversation was interrupted by dismal cries and groans. "What do I hear?" said Codadad. "Whence come these miserable lamentations which pierce my ears?"
"My lord," said the lady, pointing to a little door in the court, "they come from thence. There are I know not how many wretched persons whom fate has thrown into the hands of the black. They are all chained, and the monster drew out one every day to devour."
"It is an addition to my joy," answered the young prince, "to understand that my victory will save the lives of those unfortunate beings. Come with me, madam, to partake in the satisfaction of giving them their liberty."
Having so said, they advanced toward the door of the dungeon, where Codadad, pitying them, and impatient to put an end to their sufferings, presently put one of the keys into the lock. The noise made all the unfortunate captives, who concluded it was the black coming, according to custom, to seize one of them to devour, redouble their cries and groans. In the meantime, the prince had opened the door. He went down a steep staircase into a deep vault, which received some feeble light from a little window, and in which there were above 100 persons bound to stakes. "Unfortunate travellers," said he to them, "who only expected the moment of an approaching death, give thanks to heaven which has this day delivered you by my means. I have slain the black by whom you were to be devoured, and am come to knock off your chains." The prisoners, hearing these words, gave a shout of mingled joy and surprise. Codadad and the lady began to unbind them, and as soon as any of them were loose, they helped to take off the fetters from the rest, so that in a short time they were all at liberty. They then kneeled down, and having returned thanks to Codadad for what he had done for them, went out of the dungeon. But when they were come into the court, how was the prince surprised to see among the prisoners those he was in search of, and almost without hopes to find. "Princes," cried he, "is it you whom I behold? May I flatter myself that it is in my power to restore you to the Sultan, your father, who is inconsolable for the loss of you? Are you all here alive? Alas, the death of one of you will suffice to damp the joy I feel for having delivered you." The 49 princes all made themselves known to Codadad, who embraced them one after another, and told them how uneasy their father was on account of their absence. They gave their deliverer all the commendations he deserved, as did the other prisoners, who could not find words expressive enough to declare their gratitude. Codadad, with them, searched the whole castle, where was immense wealth. Curious silks, gold brocades, Persian carpets, China satins, and an infinite quantity of other goods, which the black had taken from the caravans he had plundered, a considerable part whereof belonged to the prisoners Codadad had then liberated. Every man knew and claimed his property. The prince restored them their own and divided the rest of the merchandise among them. Then he said to them, "How will you carry away your goods? We are here in a desert place, and there is no likelihood of your getting horses." "My lord," answered one of the prisoners, "the black robbed us of our camels as well as of our goods, and perhaps they may be in the stables of this castle." "That is not unlikely," replied Codadad. "Let us examine." Accordingly, they went to the stables, where they not only found the camels, but also the horses belonging to the Sultan of Harran's sons. All the merchants, overjoyed that they had recovered their goods and camels, together with their liberty, thought of nothing but prosecuting their journey, but first repeated their thanks to their deliverer.